the truth. The truth will set you free. So we better know some truth, because the difference between people being in bondage and the difference between people walking in freedom is simply knowing the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Hosea 4 and verse 6. I'm going to build upon what we talked about this past Tuesday, which I'm not going to do a lot of review because it's really not part of that message, so to speak. It's not part of a series, but we are starting a three-part series. I believe it's going to be a three-part series starting tonight. So let's go ahead and pray before we get into the Word. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for all you've done, for all that you've given, for all that you've provided for us. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Where would we be without the Word? Well, Father, I know where we'd be without the Word. We'd be in bondage. Lord, we just wouldn't know about salvation. We wouldn't know that we don't have to be sick. We wouldn't know that we don't have to be broke. We wouldn't know that you have better for us. We wouldn't know that there's a force called faith. We wouldn't know that we have authority over the enemy. We wouldn't know a lot of things, Father. We'd be in bondage to a lot of things. So thank you for the Word tonight. Now, Father, as we get into the Word, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it with words from heaven. Father, I thank you. I'll speak as the oracles of God tonight. Lord, what you want said will be said. What you want done will be done. And Father, I thank you that hearts will be touched, lives will be changed. Speak to each person here tonight concerning their life, their situations, their circumstance, the season of life that they're in, Father. Help them. And Father, we thank you for impartations and revelations. Give us ears to hear tonight what the Spirit of God is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Hosea 4 and verse 6, I just want to read the first part of that verse. And I do encourage you, I'm actually preaching along these lines, not this message, but what we talked about Tuesday, preaching it tomorrow in South Dayton. Because as I ministered on Tuesday, it was clear in my spirit we need to share this Sunday in South Dayton. So I do encourage, if you were not here Tuesday and you did not catch up on Tuesday, you need to listen to the message. It was entitled, The Dangers of Being Ignorant. And there are some dangers, and we see it here. The Bible says, my people are destroyed. That's not a light word. Destroyed. Doesn't say just bothered. Doesn't just say annoyed. It says my people are destroyed for lack of what they know. Lack of knowledge, right? Well, that goes along with what I just encouraged you and exhorted John that Jesus said, if you don't know the truth, you can't be set free. And the word says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And we saw on Tuesday night the dangers. Julie, wave your hand there. Wave your hand. That's Julie. And Julie is started in our South Dayton church, still faithful there, and comes here and helps us and things. But I had mentioned a story about Julie just to tell you about the dangers of being ignorant. Here she was, a Christian, because a lot of people think if you're a Christian and if you love God, that everything will work out. Not so. There are a lot of Christians who love God. There's a lot of Christians who are in church faithfully, and it's not working out for them. Sickness and poverty and depression, mental and emotional instability reign supreme in their life. Dark days for them, and they're God's children. Well, Julie was one of them, loved the Lord, was passionate about God, but she was in a place, in a church, that didn't teach the Bible. And so here she is loving God and serving God and wanting God and worshiping God, and yet she had an incurable respiratory problem and on all sorts of medications. The doctor didn't know what to do because they had her on every medication they could put her on and it wasn't working. Steroid treatments, couldn't stand up hardly, couldn't pick up her own children. And they're talking about little kids, you know, and babies and things, and couldn't do that. It just desperate. But here she loves God, worships God in church, but she doesn't have any knowledge, and so she's not being set free. She's being destroyed. And so much so, they had to take you out by ambulance one day in your classroom. She's a teacher, and they had to come get her because she could hardly breathe and almost died. Well, she started coming to my church in South Dayton. It has nothing to do with me in the sense of Mike Anderson, the man I am, the messenger, and the anointed messenger to give the message. But I'm not bragging on the man. The man's not very impressive, and that's just the truth. I'm not. But she came to the church. And it's not a family church thing. And it's not a Mike Anderson thing, but it is a Word of God thing. Amen. And the first series I happened to be preaching on when she came to the church was a series on divine healing. Well, she had never heard this before. She didn't know that God was a healer. She didn't know that God wanted her healed. She didn't know that there was a means by which to get supernaturally healed when the doctors are scratching their head and saying, putting their hands up there and saying, we don't know what to do with you. God knows what to do with you. But the Bible says if you don't know, you're destroyed. Well, we looked at on Wednesday night or Tuesday night, why are you destroyed? Because if you don't know, you can't have faith. And if you can't have faith, you can't receive God's promises, because God's promises do not fall on your head like a ripe cherry off a tree. You got to cooperate with them, with the Word. And so here she is loving God, and she's sicker than can be, and God's looking at her, and He loves her, and He wants to help her, but God has to stick to His Word. God's bound by His Word. So she hears a series on healing, and light starts to open up. The truth came in, and guess what? The truth that set her free. She came up at the end of that service, I laid hands on her, and from that moment on, never had an asthma attack again. All medicine gone, completely freed. You've been free since. Praise God. That came down to knowledge or no knowledge. I could tell you story after story about my life. Knowledge, no knowledge. What happened? What was the difference? There's a danger of being ignorant. And so I want to talk to you about an area tonight in the Word that many people in the body of Christ are ignorant of, and that's why they don't receive from God. Now again, whatever I say, who cares? Don't take it because I'm up here and I tied my tie real nice, you know, put a suit on and they call me pastor. Uh-uh. Don't take anybody's word because they're on TV or they have a big church. It's got to be the Bible. Amen. If it's not the Word of God, run for the hills. Run for the hills. Praise God. And so go with me to Psalms 34 and verse 8. Psalms 34 and verse 8. Hallelujah. This series, if you're wondering, is going to be entitled Experiencing God. Oh, just be quiet up here, Siri. Siri heard me say something and she started to get involved in the service. You pipe down there, Siri. We don't want to hear from you. Experiencing God. Well, does God want you to experience Him? Well, let's find out. Psalm 34 and verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. People keep telling me about these buffets on cruise ships. And man, they sound good. And I've seen pictures and it looks good. But I want to go. I mean, just let me loose on that buffet. I like to eat. If you haven't noticed, I like to eat. Nothing like experiencing it for yourself. I remember you said this one time to me, Jeff, you brought up, it's one thing to see the Taco Bell commercial on TV and be like, oh. That's what I do when I see Taco Bell commercials. Oh. I love Taco Bell. But it's another thing to go there and get my hands on a Crunchwrap Supreme, number 9. T9, if you're familiar with Taco Bell. It's different. And God says, I'm inviting you. Taste and see that I'm good. Don't just read about that I'm good. Don't just hear somebody else testify that I'm good. I want you to experience my goodness. And listen, when you experience God's goodness, life is now different. He has a way of giving you a healing touch, a prosperity touch, a wisdom, revelation, different things that the world can't offer. Amen. And He says, come, partake of me. Come and partake of me. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. He wants you to experience Him. Amen. You know, Moses had an experience with God and came down off the mountain and he wasn't the same. When you actually, now I'm not talking about the religious God that a lot of us grew up with, where they talked about God, where they seemingly tried to tell you about God, but you never really experienced Him. You read about all the people in the Bible that experienced Him, and maybe, just maybe, every once in a while you heard a testimony. No, no, God wants you to experience Him on the daily. It's the truth. You know, my children experience the goodness of their daddy every single day. It's not just, well, you know, it's Easter Sunday. Maybe God will do something for me today. Well, it's Christmas morning. Celebrate Jesus' birth. No, He's your dad. He's your father. He wants to bless you every day. His mercies are new once a week. No, every single day, every morning. David said this, He daily loads me with benefits. Daily. But most people say, I'm not seeing them. Where are they, Lord? Where's the benefits? Well, that's what I'm trying to help you with in this series. By the end of this series, you'll know how to experience God. Now, I have to tell you something. You'll have a part to play in this. If you don't want to experience God, He won't make you. If you don't want to receive His blessings, He won't make you. And people make choices and decisions all the time that go, He's saying, I'm there, I'm here. And they say, nah, they don't know they're doing this. I'll go this way. And they just think God's going to supersede their situation and bless them anyways. Not how it works. I had a gentleman in South Dayton. He's long gone now. I mean, he's alive, but he's long gone from my church. And he was going through hell on earth. And he had come, and I had talked to him. I went out to lunch with him twice. Told him exactly what to do to turn his life around. Did he listen to me? No, most people don't. Most people didn't listen to Jesus either. And he's going through hell on earth, and I got wind of it. And so I texted him. I said, hey, just want to let you know you're on my heart. And, you know, really thinking about it. And he texted me back. Everything's good. God's got me. And the Holy Ghost, when I read that on the inside, says, no, He don't. You say, do you mean God forsaked him? God doesn't love him? God doesn't want anything to do with him? No, that's not what I mean. But God is bound to make you experience Him or to have His outflow of Him into your life. He's bound by your skillfulness and cooperation of His Word. You say, no, that can't be. Well, God's up in heaven watching His creation die and go to hell, and they're on their way to hell, and He doesn't come down and snatch them up from the flames. They only escape hell when they cooperate with His Word and then receive the goodness of His salvation. It works for healing the same way, works for prosperity the same way, works for favor the same way, works for peace the same way. And so many people, and he said, God's got me. No, He didn't. And God didn't have them. And it just kept going downhill, downhill, because that's what religion will tell you. Oh, God will just do it. God will just do it. Well, God already did it. Put Jesus on the cross, and Jesus willingly went there and put all our sin, all our sickness, all our turmoil, all our poverty on Jesus and said, here's my word. Be skillful with it. This is the compass. I give you a compass to navigate through this world. You can follow it or you cannot follow it. The compass says go north. That's how to get out of here. But you know what? I'm just going to go east. I'm just going to go west and do my own thing. Okay. But I want to teach you how to experience God, because a lot of people are hearing about it or seeing other people go through it, but He wants to daily bless you. Amen. Praise God. And we need to find out how God, I guess you say it this way, what trips His trigger? You know what would be foolish? Somebody gets a new job and they come in and they're working for somebody, and someone that's been there for a long time, they say, hey, meet me at lunch. I want to talk to you. You know, they're trying to help the new person. They say, meet me at lunch. I want to tell you about the boss and tell you about things that he likes, things that she likes, things that bless them, things that will make your life easier, things that will cause just things to go well for you. It would be ridiculous for that person to say, nah, I'm good. Why wouldn't you want to know? You know, you're there to serve them honorably. He or she honorably, you're there to serve them, and you want to be a blessing. And if they're being blessed, it's going to come back and be a blessing to you. And it's like people have ways, right, that you can push their buttons, and you either get good, you get nothing, or you get bad from them. Well, God doesn't give bad, but you can get nothing from God. Or you can know how are His ways. You do know God has ways, right? Yeah. We need to find out what His ways are. Yeah. Why? We're trying to get in cahoots with Him. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's what this is all about. Praise God. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Praise God. Are you all with me tonight? Now, you all do realize I'm not mad at you for this whole servant thing. I'm just trying to bring our church up higher. And here's the thing. If there's anything in this church that you're unwilling to do, just so you know, it's holding you back. Say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, the Bible says the willing and the obedient will eat the good of the land. Doesn't mean you're going to have to do everything, but you should be willing to do anything. Amen. The willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. The faithful man will abound in blessings. So just get your heart right. Come on. You know, I was, for years, didn't want to go to China or Africa. That's why I wouldn't give my heart to God. Well, I gave my heart to Him He became my Savior, but not my Lord. I didn't want to obey Him because I thought for sure He's going to send me to be a missionary, and I didn't want that. Well, I finally learned the best way is to just obey Him. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. In fact, I came back from Bible school raring and tearing to preach, and I knew I could preach because I had preached some best sermons to the trees. I mean, I was in a tree stand preaching while no deer coming around. I'm preaching. I'm like, man, I'm thinking to myself, you know, back from just a pride bag, young guy, you know. Man, that's good. The world needs to hear this. They really didn't need to hear it, but that's what I was thinking, you know. And so I go to my pastor, you know. He says, yeah, well, you got a preaching ministry. You go preach to the yellow lines in the parking lot. Here's an orange vest. Put it on. Well, I have a choice. I could be willing and obedient and eat the good of the land. Or I can say, you know what? Use pride and say, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I care about doing. That's uncomfortable for me. Or I could say, Lord, you have need of it in the house of God? Sign me up. Yeah. And I was out in that parking lot faithfully in the rain, the wind, the snow. I already told you about this. People coming in, being grumpy with me. Say park here, they park there. And I just got to love them anyways, you know. Being faithful, going to church soaking wet, going to church freezing cold. And I told the Lord, and I knew I was called to preach, but I told the Lord, I said, Father, I will be the best parking lot attendant that heaven has ever seen. When I go to heaven, they will welcome the best parking lot attendant the world has ever seen. And I said, I will be the most faithful, and I will do this the rest of my life. I won't use this as a stepping stone. I want to be a blessing. Amen? Amen? And I was promoted because of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That needed to be said, so I said it. Anyways, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. Now look at this. We're talking about not being ignorant of experiencing God, because can people be ignorant in how to experience Him? Yes. Yes. That's why a lot of people aren't experiencing Him in the measure that they should. You know, you hear Pastor Mike talking about these. I could tell you financial miracles, healing miracles in my own personal life, of doctors saying no way, and the account saying no way, and miracles in the church. Why? What have I learned? I've learned how to pull from my Father. I've learned what He likes. I learned how to cooperate with Him. Amen. Amen. And it's not a preacher thing. Come on. It's not just set aside for Pastor Mike. It's for all those that would hunger and thirst. He said, if you'll be hungry and thirsty, you'll be filled and satisfied. Not if you're a preacher. Not if you have reverend in front of your name. Amen. Praise God. So let's find out some ignorance here in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, he could not see. He's older, Samuel's younger. And ere or before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. So it's nighttime. The Lord... Verse 4, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel, the young boy, what did he do? He answered, here am I. Now, who did the Bible say called him? The Lord called him. But look at verse 5. The boy got up and ran into Eli's room and said, here am I. You called me. And he said, I didn't call you. Go lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again to Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, you called me. He said, I did not call you, my son. Go back to bed. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, did not yet know, did not yet know, did not yet know. You miss out on some things when you don't know. How many people in South Dayton have come up to me and said, years, Pastor Mike, I was in church. Never heard this stuff before. Again, this isn't a brag on me. I'm just, I plagiarize really well. What do you mean by that? I just stick real close to what's already been written. This isn't magnifying me. I'm just messenger boy. You know, when the FedEx guy drops off a piece of hunting equipment, I don't go jump in his arms, give him a hug and a kiss. I mean, I'm glad he or she brought it to me, but they're not the source. Someone brings me a mailman that drops off a Christmas present for me, run out and tackle him in the driveway and just love him and hug him. No, they brought it. Good for them. They brought it. Thankfully, they faithfully brought it. But I want, it's the package I'm after. Who is the source of that package that's going to get the thank yous? His word, amen? Got to know. Said he didn't know the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord revealed unto him. Well, ignorance is not bliss in the kingdom. What you don't know can hurt you in the kingdom. That's right. I know in the world they say it different because the world tries to twist it the wrong way. In verse 8, the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." And now Eli perceived that it was the Lord that called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord.'" You know what's amazing? I just saw this. God didn't stop Samuel. Say, "Hey, ignorant one, it's not Eli, it's me." Nope. Ooh, and I'm going to tell you a testimony. That goes right along with my testimony. Why? There's certain things God can and can't do. And ignorance caused him to miss out. Until somebody that wasn't ignorant pointed him in the right direction. How many of you know we're all ignorant until we're not anymore? Even the ones that aren't anymore used to be ignorant. Until they weren't anymore. Yeah, right. Amen. So that's not a demeaning term. Hallelujah. It's just a category or where people are at times. And they need to get out of that category. Especially if you, after you hear Tuesday's message. You can't stay ignorant. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down if he shall speak again. If he shall say again, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears.' So Samuel went down, lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called another... As the other time, Samuel, Samuel, then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" And you know what ended up happening? He has an encounter and an experience with God. God three times was trying to have an experience with him. God three times was trying to impart some things into him. But why didn't he receive it? Because he just didn't know. Ooh-wee! Go to Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. Oh, Pastor Mike. Yes, yes, yes. Glory to God. Luke 19, this is a good old kick in the pants of religion right here tonight. Luke 19 and verse 41. Look what it says here. Well, so this is some New Testament ignorant behavior that caused them to miss out. "And when he," Jesus, "had come near, he beheld the city," Jerusalem, "saying, 'If you had known," now he's speaking to Jerusalem, the Jews, God's people, "if you had known, you, even at least in this day, the things which belong to your peace, but now they're hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you, and your enemies shall cast a trench about you and compass thee round and keep you in on every side." Now look at this. "And you shall lay there even with the ground and your children within you." You know what this sounds like? Destruction. Why are my people destroyed? For a lack of knowledge. Well, let's find out if that's the case here. "Even your children within you, and they shall not leave in one stone upon another, because..." Okay, here's the reason for this devastation. Here's the reason for this destruction. "Because you knewest not." What's that mean? They were ignorant about something. Their ignorance, like a lot of people's ignorance, like what we talked about on Tuesday night, there's Christians running around that have no idea they can be healed. They're going to stay sick because of it. There's Christians running around that don't have no idea, have no idea there's a supernatural power of God through the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Know nothing about it, never heard anything about it, won't go down that road, and will never experience it. There's people that know no idea that God has ordained what to do with your money to get you into supernatural increase, and they'll never hear it, they'll never know about it, and they'll never do it. You should see some of the parents I talk to that come in with unruly young children. And if they'll listen to me, their kids always change. Say, "Who do you think you are? A preacher of the Bible. And the Bible worked for everything." And I start to tell parents how to raise their children according to the Word of God, and it works. Oh yeah, all the time we get people that come, that kids that come in, and they're so unruly to be around, and they've sat under the Word, and the parents have sat under the Word, and they submit to the pastor and avail themselves and say, "Pastor, help me," and I start speaking into their life the Word of God, and they actually do the Word, and they apply it to their children, and voila, it works. But there are people that have no idea that God has a standard and a set way to raise their kids, and they'll do it the world's way, and they'll read some book, and they'll look at something that says, "It takes a village to raise my child." I'll tell you what, I don't want no village raising my kids. Amen. You know what goes on in the village? Darkness. No village raising my kids. I'm the one that's been ordained by God to raise my children. No psychologist. No self-help group. He said, parents, you raise them. It's the truth. And some parents have no idea, that God, Christians I'm talking, no idea. And their kids will grow up and they don't walk into things that they should walk in. Just because they didn't know. Woo! Man, oh man. It said, and they shall lay in the ground because you knewest not the time of your visitation. What's he talking about? Well, the Jews to this day, who was their visitation? Jesus was their God experience on the earth for 33 and a half years. Especially after he got his 30th birthday and he got anointed with the Holy Ghost and stepped into his ministry for 3.5 years, he was an experience of God. He was a blessing from heaven. And his own people said they're going to get destroyed. He was there to help them and save them. And to this day, they don't recognize who he was. Why? They're ignorant. Paul said that. Remember, we talked about that on... Paul said, my heart's desire for Israel, the Jews, are that they would be saved. That's telling you if they're not saved unless they take up Jesus as their Savior. He says, they have a zeal for God. They're hungry for God. They love God. Julie loved God, was hungry for God, had a zeal for God, but it wasn't according to knowledge, and she suffered for it. But once she got the know, the bondage was broke. Yeah. And he says to the Jews, he said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Why? They don't believe Jesus is the Christ. They don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They're still waiting for their king to come back and restore them. They're going to be waiting a long time. The king's already been here. Amen. And because of that, and because when Jesus was there and they didn't receive him, they were looking for some magnificent, splendid, glorious king, and they missed the whole thing. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know why some things around here sometimes aren't so popular, a midweek service? Because it doesn't look that splendid or that glorious, but what's happening here has the potential to absolutely change every area of your life. Why can a Saturday night service be so ho-hum with some people? Why? Because it's just that 5'5", if he's lucky, guy up there, hopping around, we see him every week. No, you don't understand what's happening here. The Word of God is being watered in your life that will turn into a harvest that you can't get any other way. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, because you didn't know, that's two times in the Bible we see where God endeavored to visit mankind, to bless mankind, to have an experience with mankind, and because they were ignorant in how he did so, they missed out. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, because this is the way the Lord led me tonight. I don't think I've ever taught this way before, but I just follow the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's smarter than I am. I want to talk to you about my two experiences that I had with God, that I knew nothing about him, and it cost me. It cost me. The first experience I'll tell you about was when I was a young boy, and because of young ears in the room, I won't get into too much of the graphic details of things. But from the time I was from 8th grade to 9th grade, I don't know how to explain it, except the only way I can say it is it felt like a weight or a blanket was laid on me of depression. And you're talking about somebody who excelled in the sport that he played better than anybody on my team, every team I ever played on. And that's not me bragging. It was the only thing I was good at was baseball. I had friends. I came from a good home. And so it's not like there was things to grab onto. It was a spiritual thing. I didn't know it. It wasn't a natural thing. It was a spiritual thing. Devil trying to take me out. And from 8th or 9th grade, I could not for one day be not bombarded with thoughts of taking my own life. It was hell on earth for me in high school. Again, I didn't want to feel that way. I wasn't trying to be some bratty, ungrateful teenager. I admit, I knew I had a good life, had great Christmases. Had a mom and dad and stepdad that loved me. You know, they sent me to school in the nice clothes, played baseball, excelled in baseball. You know, was friends with everybody from popular to not popular, just kind to everybody and got along with everybody. There was no natural reason to grab onto why I would be depressed except for that the devil was, it was a spiritual attack. But I'm telling you the truth. From the time from 8th to 9th grade, the transition, all the way through high school, there wasn't a day went by that I wasn't assaulted nonstop in my head about wanting to take my life. Well, I had done some kind of half-efforted attempts to do so. One time before I took a bunch of bottles of just over-counter pain medicine that I didn't realize would just make me throw up a lot and be sick, I went out and bought one of every favorite thing of my food at Burger King. This is where my mentality was. I went to Burger King. I can't remember how much money I spent, and I sat there and people looked at me. I had a smorgasbord of all the food because in my mind it was my last meal ever. I went, took those pills and woke up and threw up for days. Well, I had tried a couple other things. In fact, I'll say this. My senior year of high school, I walked into Jamestown High School with a loaded .357 Magnum in my backpack. Now, it was different times back then. And I was there to take my life. And I went to all the different rooms in the auditorium. The Jamestown Auditorium is huge. Jamestown's a big school, you know. And the one thing that always kept me from fully following through on it was I didn't know what would happen to me. Well, I went to each door of the auditorium. Now, there's a reason I'm telling all this. I don't tell it a lot unless the Holy Ghost tells me to tell it. And I went to every door of the auditorium and pulled that door, and it was locked. Well, my thought was I didn't want Mom to find me, so we'll do it at school. Pastor Tim, the pastor of the Jamestown Church, drove me to school that day. I asked him if I could skip school because I was going to take his car and go do it somewhere else. And he said, no, I can't. It's a rental car. He's like, what do you want to do? You want to skip school? I said, no, that's not what I want. And so he got told about me being taken out in handcuffs, you know. Did you hear Mike got taken out in handcuffs? What? I just saw him 10 minutes ago. Well, I went to every door of the auditorium, and it's locked. And I'm starting to think more and more, what am I going to do? I'm starting to panic, you know. And just when you're not thinking right, not a lot of this makes sense because you're not in the right frame of mind. So I knocked on my baseball coach's door, pulled him out. He pulled me into the janitor's closet, and I said, Coach, I said, I got this in my bag. This is what I was planning on doing, you know, and broke down or whatever. And they took me off to jail, you know. And that's my kids just think it's great that I've been in jail. I mean, they just, Dad's been in the slammer, you know. I have to say, I didn't do some hard time there. I did get to put the green jumpsuit on me. Could you picture me in the green jumpsuit? I mean, I wore it. And they slid me my food under the little thing. It's great now thinking about it. But back then, I was like, what in the world have I got myself into, you know? And then they transferred me to a mental hospital. This is when I'm 16 years old. Don't hold it against me. I'm 40 now. You know, people still hold against me. They see me. I'm like, they don't understand the change. They don't understand the change. And I was out of my mind. Now I'm out of my mind for Jesus. And so they take me to jail. They realize I'm not there to do harm to anyone myself. So they put me into a mental hospital in Jamestown. And so when I was there, I was a child, but they put me in the adult section. And I had never seen or experienced what I experienced. I shouldn't have been in there, but they were overfull in the kids section, so they put me in the adult section. Found out later they got in trouble for doing so, but I was around things and saw things that no kid should ever see, and I was like, I need to get out of here, and I was a manipulator. So much so that I heard the counselors leave my room and say, I don't know why he's here. He doesn't need to be here. I faked my way through that. In fact, Pastor Tim visited me every day, and we played ping pong in the mental hospital. I just faked my way out of there. Finally, after 10 days, I just told them everything they wanted to hear. But my whole time, the plan was, in that mental hospital, when I get out of here, I'm going to finish the deal. Because now they're not, when we're in the hospital, the only thing that was my saving grace in life was baseball, and they took it from me. They said, we can't let you back in Jamestown High School. You're expelled for a year. Well, I thought, oh, that's even more reason. You know, that's my favorite thing, and the only thing I get peace on is when I'm out in the baseball field. And so they take that away from me. And I'm finished the deal. I get out of this place 10 days in, you know. And now I remember getting out, and I was walking my dog, Duke, you know, the one that turned on me. I talked about Duke on Tuesday night. I don't even consider Duke my dog anymore. That thing was unfaithful and unloyal to me. Fell in love with my dad. Oh, broke my heart. That's my Cocker Spaniel, you know. Named it after the Duke Blue Devils. Duke turned on me, but then I got Wrigley after Wrigley Field, and she was the best dog ever. So happy ending, praise God. But I was walking the dog, and I remember two high school girls. He used to be interested in me and hang out with me, drove by me. I was walking that dog, and the look they gave me. Because now I'm the crazy guy that brought the gun to school, wants to kill himself. Nobody wants anything to do with me. So I'm like, okay, time to seal the deal. So I know this seems silly, but I got my hands on another .357 Magnum, which, again, different times, you know. I don't even think a lot of people in my family took me serious. He's just going through it. They didn't know. Because you look at my life, what's wrong with him? Is this just for attention? It wasn't for attention. And so I got that 357, put it in my brown Jansport backpack, drove in my Chevy Cavalier down the Gaswell Road we have in Frewsburg, New York. It goes down about a couple hundred yards, and it veers to the right where you can't see it from the road anymore. And I'm sitting there, and I put a song in my CD player, and I hit it on repeat, because in my mind, I'm like, that's a song I want them to find me to, you know? So I took the gun out, cocked the hammer, put it in my mouth, about ready to pull the trigger. And I'm, at this point, I don't care anymore. I'm doing it. And all of a sudden, only I can explain it, is in the windshield of the car, it was like dropped right down through the ceiling, was a huge neon sign. I'm telling you, this happened. And on that neon sign was the capital letter E in cursive, and it spelled out the word eternity in lowercase. The E was uppercase, the rest was lowercase, and it was bright white, and it flashed on and off eternity. So I got the gun in my mouth, hammer cocked, and eternity's flashing at me, and the thoughts are coming. When I pull this trigger, I'm entering into a realm that I know nothing of, but I know is real. You know the Bible says he's put eternity in the hearts of men? I knew I don't just go to the ground and pop up a daisy. Come on. For some dog to come by and pee on. I knew that wasn't the case. I knew it. In my heart, I didn't know how I knew. I mean, I'd been in church and heard about Jesus, heard about heaven and hell, didn't know how to get to heaven and didn't know how to escape hell. But I just knew, I don't know where I'm going. It's going to be one of those places, and man, I don't want to flip the coin on this one. Because I just knew hell was real. And I knew heaven was, but I had no idea how to get there. Ignorance. And the eternity flashed on and off, and it scared me so bad. I was already weeping from it, because deep down, I don't think you really want to die. You just feel like that's the only choice you have. And it's a lie from the devil. You know what the devil didn't tell me when I had the gun in my mouth? He didn't tell me about the beautiful family I'd have in 2019. He didn't tell me that I'd be standing up preaching truth to people and changing their lives. He didn't tell me about my other church that I go to tomorrow. He never told me any of that. He just told me I was worthless. So if you're dealing with that suicidal spirit, it's a lie from the pit of hell that you feel like you're worthless and you feel like you have no hope. Yeah, that's what he's telling you. But the truth is, God's got good things for you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. But he won't tell you that. The devil won't. And he never let me know any of that. Just keep telling me how bad it was, feel worthless, you know. But I didn't. But I ended up not pulling the trigger because I was so, I knew, oh, I can't, I don't want to, I know hell's going to be worse than this. I just knew hell was going to be worse than the hell I was in. So I didn't do that, you know. But what happened was, here's where the ignorance comes in. I had no idea. It seems like, well, how didn't you know this? Dumb kid, not in his right mind. I had no idea that was God reaching out to me. I didn't know what it was. I just know what I saw. Well, what happens when you don't know? You're destroyed. You're in bondage still. But what it did for me was it kept me from killing myself. But you know what didn't go away? Those thoughts, those feelings. So for the next 5 years, to cover up those feelings and those thoughts, Pastor Mike turned to addiction. Pastor Mike got so deep into gambling and wrong living and putting stuff in my body. Why? To mask the feeling. It never worked. You end up feeling worse when you sober up. Losing your money's not fun. That's why casinos are nice, because you don't win a lot. They win more. Amen? This is someone's help tonight, praise God. It's all of our help for the ignorance, but somebody's dealing with this, these feelings and thoughts, and it's just a lie from the pit of hell. Yeah, and I'll say this, until you put yourself under the anointing consistently, you'll struggle with those thoughts for the rest of your life. I'm just telling you. Keep doing things your own way, and you're opening the door to the devil. It needs to be said, and it's a true story. Praise God. God didn't want me to have those feelings and those thoughts, but why didn't God swoop in and take them away? Because that's not how God works. Ignorance leads to destruction. Amen. And so anyways, 5 years I do that. Now here I go. 5 years of hell on earth. With those same feelings, those same thoughts, struggling in my body, struggling in my mind, struggling in my finances. Why? Nobody, I didn't have an Eli. Say, hey, son, that God that gave you that vision, He's got great plans for you, and here's your way out. No one told me that. Why didn't God just swoop in and do it? Because God is bound by certain things he can't do and certain things he can do. And a lot of people are ignorant to what he can and can't do, and he gets credit for everything and blame for everything. It's true. And so, finally, I meet a gentleman by the name of Reverend Randy Nalbone, who's a minister out of Pastor Tim's Church, Jamestown. One of my best friends, you know, hunting buddy. And I'm on a baseball team, and something different about Randy, you know, he's always happy, full of joy and full of life, and I'm depressed, and I'm wanting to take my life, but I know what I saw in that car, and it ain't going to happen. I got to stick around. And back then, I was like, I got to stick around, but God saved my life in that car. And I meet Randy, and something that just drawn to him. All the other people are complaining about their wives, and he's loving his wife, and they're getting along, and he's happy, and I'm like, what's it like to feel like that? That's why I just kind of, I was so curious, you know, and started picking and things and try to find out, and he was so kind to me. You don't realize, Christian, what your level of impact can be on a sinner who's hurting. The generosity that flowed from him, the kindness, the non-judgmental looks when I would cuss and just try to push his buttons and just be sweet to me. Take me out and he'd take the bill. I was like, what in the world? Who is this? And then I ran into him at Walmart. He said, hey, I remember you talking about hunting. Do you want to go with me out to Youngsville, Pennsylvania? I have a cabin out there. I'll take you hunting. I thought, man, that's great, you know. Went out there and let me shoot one of his deer on the property, you know. Gutted the thing for me, dragged the thing for me the next day. Helped me cut it all up, package it. I mean, a lot of work, time, and effort. And he did it with a smile. What was he doing? He was showing me the love of God. Yeah. You don't understand, Christian, what vital role you can play in somebody's life. Amen. And so I get saved on January 10th, 2002, in that hunting cabin. I got born again. Well, then I start learning about how to deal with depression, how to deal with poverty, how to deal with addiction, how to deal with sickness. And I went from the ignorant to knowing how to get God to work in my life. Here I am the whole time, and he's loving me. He proved to me he loved me by giving me Jesus, but he can't move in my life because he's got ways. And the ignorant people don't know his ways. And here I'm sick, I need healing, but it's not coming. Here I'm broke. Here I'm mentally tormented, emotionally tormented, and help's not coming. Well, I don't know his ways. But I got learning his ways, and guess what? Things started falling off me left and right. In fact, I'm going to drive by the casino on the way home tonight, and I might just pop my knee up to hold the wheel, put my fingers in my ear, and go, nah, just to say, take that. Because there wasn't a day in my past that I could drive by a casino that I could legally get into that wouldn't make me go. I might just walk down the alcohol section in the grocery store and just do one of these at it, because there wasn't a day that I could be around alcohol without having to just consume it until I was silly drunk off my mind. That's a true story. But I'm free of all those things now. Why? If you know the truth, truth will set you free. Amen. Now, real quick before we close, this one will not take near as long. The second experience I had with God and didn't understand was when I got saved in January of 2002, I started going to my pastor's church in Fredonia, which was Bible Christian Fellowship at the time before he changed the name to Family Church. And I was in for about 5 months in the Durants, the ones that are coming here. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. They flow in the supernatural. This will whet your appetite a little bit about their ministry. The Durants were in town for like a four-night, usually about a four-night meeting, three-night meeting, whatever it was. Let's say four-night just to make it easy. The first 3 nights I was there, remember, I've only been in church from January to May. This is my first guest minister meeting. And the Bible talks about believers' meetings, that things happen in believers' meetings. Well, I started to see some things. People were getting hands laid on them. What in the world was that? People were falling out under the power of God. What in the world was that? People were speaking in a language that I didn't know. I need a translator for that. What in the world's going on? People were rejoicing, shouting, jumping, excited, worshiping God. Never seen anything like it in my life. And the whole time I'm sitting there for 3 days, it's all explained by the Bible, but I didn't know it. People there are experiencing God. People are getting healed, set free, lives are being changed. And I'm sitting there on the outside looking in. Why? I'm ignorant. I'm ignorant to how he moves. And the whole time I'm battling in my mind thinking, this is crazy. I just entered the granola section. You know, you go down the granola section in the grocery store and you go to the fruity, the flaky, and the nutty aisle. That's why I thought the church that I was in was the granola section. These guys are Fruit Loops. They're wacky and nutty. Who does this stuff in church? Well, I was struggling in my head because I wasn't receiving anything from God in those meetings. It was just a constant ping-pong battle in my mind. Get the heck out of here. No, wait, talk to your pastor. Get the heck out of here. No, wait, talk to your pastor. Get the heck out of here. Back and forth. Well, I'd come to the conclusion, some of us need to come to this conclusion, that we don't know it all. I thought, you know, maybe this guy who having these ministers in, my pastor, who's only ever showed me the word, which what turned me on to his church, because I was like, oh my gosh, he's just preached out of the Bible. I've never heard this before. Maybe, just maybe, he knows more than me, and maybe there's things I have not yet learned and I need to experience before I start being judgmental and throw everything out. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so I'm sitting, I said, okay, I'll make up my mind. I trust my pastor. He would never bring ministers in here that are not biblically sound and let anything go on from his pulpit that's not straight out of the Word of God. He just would never do it. I knew that much I knew in 5 months. And so I said, I'll talk to him when this is over. But I went home the eve before the last meeting. And this is a true story. In my apartment in Water Street in Fredonia, where I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was on my knees. And I said, Lord, I'm not receiving very much in these meetings. Everyone else looks like they're having a good time. I'm assuming it's you because my pastor wouldn't have anything in that's not you, and he's joining in and receiving as well. And so I said, Lord, if this is you, I want it. It's uncomfortable to me, but that's okay. You're not looking for my comfort. You're looking for me to conform to the Word. I said, if it's you, I want it. And so I said, Father, and I just threw my hands up in the air. It's a true story. I said, I want more of you. And for the next half hour to 45 minutes to an hour at a time, and I just know it was about that long, all I said on my knees in that apartment was, Father, I want more of you. And I meant it. My heart was crying out to God. I want more of you. What was I saying? I'm hungry for you. You know why people, a lot of people don't get anything from God? They're not hungry for God. It's casual time with God. Take it or leave it. No, I was hungry. Hungry for God. And all I said is, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. So it's the night of the last meeting, and I'm sitting in the middle there, probably about as far back as the last pew is where I was sitting in that church. They had seats, you know, and the place is packed out. And Brother Kevin's preaching. I really enjoy when Brother Kevin preaches because you think I get animated. Wait till you see him. And Sister Annie's just so sweet. They just have an awesome dynamic ministry. But anyways, he's preaching fire. I mean, spit's coming out. He's getting red. Veins are popping. You know, it's one of those. And he stops mid-sentence. I mean, he's fired up and just stops. And he walks down the aisle that I'm in, and he's looking at me. Now, it's weird because he's preaching fire, and all of a sudden he stops and looks at me. Well, the Holy Ghost arrested him. He walks down the aisle. It's a true story. Walks down the aisle and pulls me, points to me and says, you, stand in the aisle. I thought, if I thought I was going to leave this church, I'm definitely leaving this church after this. What in the world is this guy doing? But then, you know, it's like, okay, if I say no, do I look weirder? So I'll just do what he says and go along with it. And I stood up as nervous and as, the only word I can think, as wigged out in my mind that you could be. And he looks at me and he says, you want more of God. Lord, everything I said to you last night was, I want more of you. So Houston, we have a problem. Either God told him that or he's a peeping Tom. And he's listening in on my conversations, which I know that wasn't the case. Here, now that's not where it ends. That's an experience and encounter with God right there. But remember, I'm having trouble with all this hands laid on, people falling out business. Ah, they're pushing them over. Ah, they're just caught up in the fanaticism of all this and the craziness. That's what I thought. And he said, you want more of God, don't you? I said, yes, I do. Now, I'd never raised my hands in the church. I thought everybody's looking at me. Nobody gives a rip. And I lifted my hands up. I said, yes, I want more of God. The next thing I remember, this is what it felt like. I felt like someone taking a full swing of a baseball bat and hitting me with it without me feeling the pain. I felt the force, but not the pain of it. And I left my feet and flew in the air and got caught by the ushers, and I laid glued to the, I couldn't get up, glued to the ground for I don't know how long. Afterwards, I told my friends, who was Randy and Pastor Tim were there, before they were both didn't do anything in the ministry, you know. I said, how hard did he hit me? Because I thought the miracle was that I'm not in pain. Why aren't I hurting? I flew off my feet. Not somebody there trying to put on a show. The last thing I want to do is lay on a floor of a church service when I don't even want to raise my hands. Yeah, that looks normal. A guy laying on the floor, that's what I wanted. No. And I said to Randy and Pastor Tim, I said, how hard did he hit me? They said, Mike, he didn't come within 2 feet of you. He said, be blessed, and the power of God hit you, and you lift your feet and knocked the ushers back, and you laid there. I had an encounter with God that night. And you know what that night did for me? It was a domino effect and made this guy hungry for the supernatural. And from that moment, it was crying out to God, Lord, we want the Bible things to happen. Signs, wonders, and miracles, healings, people being delivered, devils being cast out. I got hungry. Why? I experienced the supernatural. But the point was, I was ignorant of all of that before, and all the other people already experienced the supernatural part, or, you know, visitation of God. And I'm not, because I'm ignorant. We had a person not so long ago, well, it would have been a little while ago now, as time goes on, it does get longer. And we'll close with this. Had reached out to me personally through somebody else and told me that, this is what they said, I know there's more for me. And they told me the church they're in, and I don't go to any other churches. Lord showed me a vision one time about some things, and I'll never tell you exactly what it was, but just some things that go on where people don't receive the word in the spirit. Looks good, there's lots of people, and the music's great, and there's big buildings and things, and this is just in this region. I'm saying the Lord showed me 3 churches in the world. That I'll just say the world, because I'll never say which ones they were. But that's for another day. Basically saying that they looked the part, but he's not there. The Word's not there. The Holy Ghost isn't there. And this person told me that, and I heard this story about this place, and well, you know, we preach the Bible. I don't know what to tell you. We follow the Holy Ghost and preach the Bible. They came to the service, and I wish I could show you the text message, but I wouldn't, because then I'd show you the person, of what they said to me after the 2 times they heard me preach. It was like the couple that came to South Dayton weeks ago and have not been back, and I think they just don't know. And they came there and they visited. They only visited because they knew my mom before my mom moved from Falconer to Virginia with my sister, and they lived in the same apartment complex. My mom would always talk about me, so they had to come check it out. And they came up to me after, they said, do you know that you talked about every single problem we have in our life right now and gave the solution? I thought, well, if they know it's good for them, they'll be lifers at this church. Yeah. Spirit of God. I haven't seen them since. This is what happens every time we preach. Yeah. The word goes forth and it hits the nail on the head. But anyways, that person sent me a text message. You don't know what I'm going through and the things you're saying. Oh my gosh, this is the hope. This is the hunger that I had for wanting more. I found it. Well, then we had a problem. God moved. And God called out heart conditions. You remember that because you received, brother. You did. You received in that. You went down like a ton of bricks. Did I push you down? Did you fake your fall? No, the power of God. Now, if I fell every time a minister laid hands on me, no, sometimes I don't feel a thing, but sometimes I can't even stand. Is that biblical? Sure is. Sure is. I don't have time to teach on it. I'll teach on it in private and show you the word precedent when the power of God. Listen, when the power hits, supernatural power, natural can't stand. It's just the truth. Well, the Holy Ghost called some things out. Now, here's what people don't realize. The Holy Ghost called out a heart condition. 3 people came up to get hands laid on them for that and receive from God. But when they went back to their seat, what the congregation didn't know is I was grieved in my heart. My heart was grieved. You say, why were you grieved in your heart? Well, because I knew there was still somebody that hadn't come up. And I knew that they were to receive, but the reason God called out that word was because there was a bigger issue in the service that I had no knowledge of, but he did. And so I had somebody come up to me who has been with us in who knows how long. This is a different person I'm talking about now. Came up to me and they said, my spouse is about to go through a major heart surgery. Would you pray? Would you make sure to pray? I said, where was he? He was in the service. Where was he? That's why I was grieved. God was trying to heal that thing. Amen. But the person that had texted me and said, this is what I need, was in that service. They'd never seen a word of knowledge. They'd never seen a healing line. They'd never seen hands laid on. They'd never seen somebody fall out. And here's the neat thing. I knew this was coming by the Holy Ghost, and I warned this person. I didn't know that word was coming that night, but I knew when you come from a place that doesn't preach the Bible, and you step into a place that preaches the Bible, just like Pastor Mike did, you're going to think you entered the granola section. Yeah. Yeah. And I told this person, I said, you're going to see things in this church, and you're going to hear things in this church that are going to rub your flesh the wrong way, rub your mind the wrong way, and it's going to seem ooky, spooky, and weird. But if you'll take time to say, I don't know everything, and find out in the Word, you'll see that it's biblical. Amen. And they saw some things, experienced some things. They went from praising me up and down, thinking that their situation's going to turn because now they have hope, to being so weirded out. And they kept texting me, I'll sit down with you, I'll sit down with you. And they ran back to their pastor. And I say that lightly. I have a problem with shepherds that don't feed. Amen. Not against them personally, just against the whole thing of people sitting under them, starving to death. Bothers me. And I don't even blame them a lot of times, because a lot of times they're just ignorant and they don't know even themselves. And ran back to their pastor to only have their pastor say, that stuff's not biblical. Now, didn't give them any scripture. No. No scripture. Just, that stuff's not biblical. Well, their comfort level was there, you know. It was very uncomfortable flesh, so they hear that, and it's comfortable. Okay, that lines up with the way I feel. Bam, gone like the wind. Bible says, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. That's what we did. That's what we did. Ah, that's not in the Bible. Oh, it's in the Bible. It's all over the Bible. So what's my point? To experience God, you got to know His ways. So in this series, I'm going to show you in the Bible. You want touch from heaven? You actually want to experience God? I'll show you. I will show you how to do it. I will show you what it takes. I will show you in the Word how to experience God. Because when you experience Him, there's nothing like it. And then you don't have to just hear about this guy up here shouting about it every day, about how he gets all these things from God and things. I'll teach you how to do it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word tonight. We're just so grateful. So thankful for your help. Oh, Lord, you just want to help people. You're just trying to reach people. You're trying to bring yourself to their level. And you do that through the shepherd and the knowledge of the Word. Father, I pray that everybody would have a stirring on the inside of them, that life can be different. I know there's people in here tonight, they've never seen anything like this before. What in the world? This is church, people shouting, people, pastor up there preaching like this and things. You've never seen it. But if you go back to the Bible, you won't find anything that wasn't in there. We stick with the Word of God, and the Word is our answer. The Word sets us free. And so when you run from the Word, you run back into bondage. And that's what that person did. They ran right back into bondage. Still loving God, still thinking God's going to help them, but God has ways. Father, I pray that everyone here, Lord, would get a revelation that you want to bless them and you want to help them and you want them to experience you. But Father, there's a protocol. There's a system, I guess you could say it this way. It's just, you have a part, we have a part. And if we don't do our part, we don't get your part. We don't get your blessings. Just the way it works. The way it works with salvation. Nobody, you don't want anybody to go to hell, but people go to hell, not because you're sending them there, not because you want them to go there, because they didn't do the way. They didn't follow the way. Well, people are missing out on you because they just don't know how to change their family, how to change their kids, how to change their bodies, how to change their finances. How do I change my mind? I know God can. I know He's strong. I know He can heal anything. I know He can provide anything. I know He can turn anything around, but how do I get Him to do it? That's what we're going to talk about. So, Father, I pray that people be hungry, they'd be faithful, and they'd come to their visitation and hear from heaven. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Please, for the respect of other people, I'm not trying to be bossy. The first experience that you need to have with God is salvation. That gets you into the family. I said on Tuesday night, God's not obligated to everybody. He's not. I'm not obligated to every kid in this church here tonight. Like, if If I run into your kids at Walmart, I'm not obligated to make sure they have food. I'm not obligated to make sure their kids have, the kid on the street has clothing that I see walking down the street with his parents. I'm obligated to my kids. God's obligated to his kids. Well, the way you become his kid is to accept Jesus. The Bible says when you receive Jesus, you become a child of God. Oh, that's when things can start to get good. That's when the doors start to open. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you say, I don't know if I'm a child of God. I believe in him. I've been a good person. If you could say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. Heaven's the first blessing you receive when you receive Jesus is you get eternal life. If you're here tonight, you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. My goodness, don't go another minute without knowing. Especially when I tell you how free it is, how readily available it is. God's saying to you, I love you so much, don't perish. You say, well, Pastor Mike, I've always been taught it's hard to get God to love me. It's hard to go to heaven. No, it's easy. You don't have to do religious cartwheels and religious backflips and give money and make sure that your good works outweigh your bad works. No, the Bible says if you go through Jesus, just like the criminal on the cross that was dying with him, he wasn't what the world would say was a good person. He wasn't a churchgoer. He wasn't what you call generous. I mean, he was a thief. And all he did was look at Jesus and say, I believe in you. And Jesus looked back at him and said, that's what it takes. If you're here tonight and you say, Pastor Mike, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm a child of God, but I want to be. I believe in him. The qualifications are believing in him and receiving him. You don't even have to come back to this church to go to heaven. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't know that if I'm saved or not, and I want to be. I want to go to heaven. You make it sound like it's simple, because it is. You just have to believe on Jesus, John 3:16 says. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you, won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. If you want to receive Jesus here tonight, again, you're not joining this church. You're just saying, I believe in you, Lord. Bible says you must call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Jesus said, if you believe on me, you won't perish. You have a part to play. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus here tonight, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Is there anybody that wants to receive him for the first time? Don't let this moment pass you by. I'm going to wait a second because sometimes people are shy. I'm not going to embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is a heart decision, though. Don't just do it because if you raise your hand or don't raise your hand, my life's going on. But if in your heart, something in your heart saying, that's me, don't let this moment pass you. I see that hand, you can put it down. Thank you. Thank you for your boldness. See, we're not going to embarrass anybody. I promise you that. Is there anybody else? Now you saw one hand go up and you realize he's not here trying to embarrass me or point me out. Is there anybody else who wants to receive Jesus before we close the service? Just lift your hand in the air and put it right back down. That's all. Anybody else before we close? Father, I saw one hand, but if by chance there's more than one for that person or people that didn't raise their hand, then maybe you should have. Or if you're listening online, it has nothing to do with raising your hand. It has everything to do with your heart and what you believe and what you confess. So for that person that raised their hand or anybody online that wants to receive Jesus, or if you're here and you didn't raise your hand, there's only one step left to do. Confess your belief in him. Receive Jesus. I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I told you I wouldn't embarrass you, so you're not going to be the only person praying. You're not going to have to come up with a prayer on your own. I'm going to pray a prayer declaring your belief in Jesus and asking him into your heart. And the only thing I ask you to do is to repeat after me, but mean it with all your heart, and we'll ask the whole church to pray. So if you raised your hand or should have raised your hand, don't feel like your voice is the only one that's going to be heard, but you do need to ask him. He's a gentleman. He doesn't barge his way in. So for that person that raised their hand, or those online that want to get involved, or those here that didn't raise their hand, along with everybody in the church, say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross
for my sin.
And I believe that you rose from the dead.
And I ask you
to come into my heart.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You can look up here. If you prayed that for the first time, congratulations.
This is the start.
This is the start of a new life for you.
Amen.
And I'll get a hold of you in private,
you know,
and start to help you. But the next thing is just plant
a
Bible-teaching church. Hear the word and do the word. Amen. It's real simple. Let's go ahead and stand up and give God praise tonight. Father, we love you so much. We endeavor to not be ignorant anymore. We want to be in the know. The know is the receiving category. Praise God. We love you, Lord. We praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, Amen. We'll see you next Saturday. You're dismissed. Your presence.
Come on, fill the room with praise. Set off the atmosphere. Shift it with your...